morning, everyone, and welcome in to another episode of the Found Generation podcast, a podcast for young people. Joined once again, because I can't get anyone else to agree to come on this show, Kelsey Davis, how are you?
I'm doing well. Is this our show?
No, it's not our show. It's still my show. I have other conversations scheduled. You are not the only guest to appear on this show.
But I may be a regular guest.
You might be a regular, especially when we get to Hawaii in a matter of weeks, which we'll talk about later on the show, 1 week. I wanted to use this episode. You know, we've been telling the audience about some of our time in London. So I want to, on this episode, kind of put a bow on our time in London and then also talk about what we're looking forward to in Hawaii. So as you said, we are entering our final week here in London. We got here January 6th. Where are your emotions at heading into this week?
I feel like I'm in a full fuck it mode, which I have been for most of the time, but I'm like, shit, I got to be a tourist in this city for the next week. Kind of enjoying our last moments in this flat. I've grown to love waking up and just sitting at this kitchen table and occasionally having the sun shine on my face and Troy saying some ridiculous shit. This morning I was one bite into my yogurt and he looked at me and said, "Have I ever shown you my Sigmund Freud doll?"
It wasn't random. You had just brought up Sigmund Freud in the sentence before. You said your friend went to the Sigmund Freud Museum. So this was not just me giving you this fun fact out of nowhere.
I need you to elaborate on it.
Okay. So I am a history nerd. Sigmund Freud is one of history's most fascinating, interesting people. Love him or hate him, he is fascinating. And I first remember hearing the name Sigmund Freud in my ninth grade world culture, world literature class, which for, you know, the OGs in my life know this is my favorite class I've ever taken. It's where I cultivated the friendship with my best friend slash lover, Ben Sibson. Oh. And so we talked about Sigmund Freud all of the time. And so I was in Montreal a couple years ago and I stumbled upon this cool bookstore that had a little section devoted to historical figures. Karl Marx, Friedrich Nietzsche, Albert Einstein, all the quirky figures.
And out of all of them, you chose Sigmund Freud?
Well, hold on. I got more than just the Sigmund Freud doll. Big Sigmund Freud doll. I took one. I mean, it's really an adorable. I'll put a photo, you know, on social media or something. So I got a doll of Sigmund Freud, which I then later plopped on my desk at university and then at ESPN. I also, for both Ben and I, got finger puppets. I got a Karl Marx finger puppet for me, because people always joke about me being a communist. And then I got him a...
Is that a joke?
Yeah, I'm not a communist. Not at all. And then I got him a Friedrich Nietzsche, the great philosopher who we both share a mutual love for, because Ben and I did a presentation on Friedrich Nietzsche way back when. I got him a Nietzsche finger puppet, which to this day is on his refrigerator in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
I'm sorry I asked.
Why?
No, I thought there was more of an interesting story behind that.
Was that not interesting?
No, I'm fully engaged.
Okay, thank you. I don't want to ever ask you on this podcast again.
Our podcast.
Stop. You haven't asked me about my emotions this week yet.
How are you feeling?
I also share the sentiment of wanting to do kind of the final things that I haven't done yet. To be fair, we've done a lot here. We've both spent a considerable amount of time in London, both in these last 2 months and then before this trip as well. I feel like I've done everything I wanted to do. As I've learned throughout my travels, I used to have this urge, I want to do everything and see everything, but it just can't be done. There's so much to do and see that it just can't be done. And rather than stress myself out about trying to pop in everywhere for 15 minutes in my quest to do everything, I'd rather just spend several hours at one place and fully have that experience. Rather than go to all the museums in London, which can be taxing on the mind, I was like, you know, let me just go to three or four. And that's what I did. I went to the Church of War Rooms, which, again, as a history guy, seeing a World War II museum, which is very recent history. As cool as it is to see, you know, the Tower of London, which is was built in the 1000s. It's also very cool for me because I studied recent history. I studied the 1920s to now. So it's really cool to see 1945 London, which was the command center for basically the European front of World War II.
Right. I think when you come to a place for 2 months and the goal is to see what it's like to live here, which was kind of our goal, is to be like, could we see ourselves here long term? It's less about, oh, we have to see every tourist attraction and actually just integrate yourself into everyday life and go to the gym and go to local cafes and meet new people and try new things and go to museums and things like that. So I think we had a nice balance of that. My favorite was the London Transport Museum. I just thought that was so cool to see the evolution of the London Underground. I need a Mind the Gap t-shirt. I mean, it's so good, but it's a really, really interesting museum. Would highly recommend.
So, you know, when we go on travels like this, there's all sorts of things that you want to get out of it. I know what I wanted to get out of it, but I want to ask you first, what did you want to get out of this trip? And do you feel like you did get what you wanted?
Yes and no. So one of the things I wanted to get out of this trip was, I think I mentioned it in a previous podcast, was just to push myself out of my comfort zone and to just be able to figure things out. I had never lived more than, 2 months outside of my hometown. No, but I studied abroad. I did a semester in New York, but I'd never like left the country for longer than like 2 to 3 weeks. And I think this was a great opportunity to just push myself out of my comfort zone and force myself to learn new things, a new way of life, somewhat of a new culture. I mean, we're in London. It's as close as you're going to get to the American way of life outside of the US. But that I feel like I completed in a lot of ways. But personally, I think I had some of my own goals that I had to change throughout our time here, and I'm just trying to adapt to new people and new places and new things, and some of it got left behind, but that's okay.
Like what?
I hate you. I think I wanted to not date while I was here. That was like one of my number one things, was like, I just want to be independent. I want to know what it's like to be alone, to not have anybody, not have a love interest. And that didn't happen. So, you know, but I'm rolling with that and I don't regret any of that. And I'm really enjoying myself and the people that I'm spending time with. So that's what I mean by having to change my perspective and roll with how I'm feeling now versus how I was feeling before we left. What were your goals when you came here?
I wanted to... A couple things. One, I wanted to... And this is no particular order. One, I wanted to like grow this friendship and like deepen this relationship more than it was going into it. And I feel... Check that box. I feel we were successful in that.
Dope!
Yeah. I was concerned about spending this much time with you. Not just you specifically, just anyone spending this much time with anyone. Because my whole life, it's always been like spending, as you know, I like to spend a lot of time alone. So once I spend too much time around people, I have a social battery that, you know, I don't feel like myself after spending a lot of time with people. I need a certain amount of time alone to recharge. And just constantly being around you, I was scared about how would that make me like want to push you away or shoo you away. And I'm not tired of you at all. I was expecting to be tired of you by this point, and I'm just not at all. In fact, I can't wait to go to Hawaii with you.
I know. Our friendship has grown a lot in the sense that like we can just be around each other and not feel an insane drainage of social battery. I feel like when we get up in the morning, we're both really positive. We spend a lot of time dancing in this living room, hyping each other up. It's been, I didn't think it was going to be a bad experience at all. So I'm glad you have a ton of fucking faith in me, Troy.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like this friendship has always worked, and we kind of joked like, oh, we need 2 weeks recovery after we hang out. But really, we don't. And I'm actually more nervous for when we get back to the States and like having you really far away and be like, oh, Jesus Christ, yeah. Like, where's my friend?
Yeah. I was also excited about work-wise. I've been grinding for years because of the remote work revolution and COVID and whatnot. I've never really taken any time away from work. I've never gone on a vacation really in this whole time that didn't involve work. Like, I've traveled a bunch, but I've always been working. This is the beauty of being able to go places. So I was kind of burnt out from work heading into this. And so I wanted to remove myself from America, which just has the grind, hustle culture mindset, and come here and try to remove myself from that. Is there a lot of that in London? Yes, but I'm far less familiar with it. I feel more pressure in America than I do here, basically, is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to treat this experience as kind of an off-season of sorts. You know, quarterbacks get an off-season, teachers get an off-season. Why can't I give myself an off-season? So that's kind of how I approached this. I worked the whole time, but I took the foot off the gas. I took the foot off the gas in terms of trying to get significantly better at my job every day. I don't want to say I coasted, but I accepted and just did what I needed to do to keep my job and to get paychecks and whatnot. But like, I wasn't trying to give 110%. I was like, let me just meet the expectations, satisfy everyone that I need to, and then in that process, recharge. And I feel right now so recharged. I have so many ideas. There's so many things I want to do. I can't wait. I sketched out yesterday kind of like my 2023 goals. Where do I want to be 3 months from now, 6 months from now, 9 months from now, 12 months from now? And so now I feel very rejuvenated and I'm approaching my work, which was getting pretty monotonous and felt I was stalling. Now I feel really good about where I'm at and really excited and reinvigorated again.
Hell yeah, Troy Farkas. I think you've been putting that energy into yourself, which you totally deserve to do. I mean, I'm definitely doing that in every sense of the imagination. Like, this really is a huge off season for me moving into a new industry very soon. But I'm really excited that you did that because I think you needed it. And like you said, now you kind of have this new energy going back into your on season.
What are you going to miss most about London?
I think it's mostly the people and the connections that we made here that I'm going to struggle with. I think Nim and Snaina are going to come up on every podcast, but like, they're not going to be in the same city as us anymore. I met like 7 to 10 girlfriends at a party this weekend, and they were so sweet and asked me to spend time with them. And I'm looking at them like, God, I leave in a week. And like, I would really like to grow these friendships. So like, places are places. It's beautiful here. I love the Royal Borough of Chelsea and South Kensington, the architecture, not the food. But at the end of the day, I think it's the people that make the place and make your experience. And so there'll be some tough goodbyes, actually, which, you know, we talked about before we left the States. It's like, we have tough goodbyes, but it'll be worth our next experience. And that's kind of how we have to look at it now. It's like, we have some tough goodbyes, but it'll be worth our next experience.
Yeah, that's such a tough part of moving around in short spurts like this, is you form connections and make these insane memories. I can't imagine how hard it was for you making all those girlfriends Saturday night, but kind of having one foot in, one foot out of that friendship, being like, we're having such a great time. I want to see you. Oh, wait, no, I can't go to that thing you invited me to. 2 weeks from now, I'm not going to be here. It sucks. That's why I didn't, like, I'm trying to think what I was open to dating here, but like, I wasn't going to go out searching. I wasn't going to force the issue. Like, if something happened, great, but I didn't want to form any connections with people and then just have to get up and leave, because that's like, I don't know. I like to avoid heartbreak in my life.
We know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the way that you view love and connection, it would be a lot harder for you than it would be for me. Like, I kind of am in the moment kind of person where like, I can form a connection with somebody. And like, if I see you again, I hope I do, but more with friendships. Like, those girls, some of them I met actually like were genuine connections where I was like, if you're in Boston, come stay with me. Like, that's fine. Like, our paths will cross again. But yeah, it's hard at the same time. I was added to like a few group chats and she was like, be part of our girl group. And that's like, I think for any girl to find your group of girlfriends in wherever you're living is crucial to how happy you are in that space. And like, I talk about this with my friend Mackenzie all the time. It's like, she moved to Florida and like, she did not have girlfriends. And that was the biggest reason for her unhappiness for a really long time. And so if I came back here, if we come back here, knowing that that stands is a huge plus for me. The girls are everything. I'm a girl's girl, so.
How have you changed from this experience?
Well, I think you're a really positive influence on me in a lot of ways. And one of the things that we did when we got here, we started journaling and I carved out my core values like you did. And I've started, not entirely, but I've started to try and make decisions based on those core values and just finding my own inner peace and being honest. And it frees you in a lot of ways. Like they always say, like the truth frees you. And I just kind of have to lead with like, this is exactly how I'm feeling. And I'm sad about this. And I'm angry about this. And this is what my hesitations are. And just kind of putting everything on the table. And it's freed a lot of anxiety for me. And I think that's something you taught me when we got here. And so I think that's why my experience in London has been so good, is because I've been able to lead and make decisions on those core values. Less mental health stuff. I drink a lot more.
That's for sure. Like,
my liver is so fucking damaged from the last 2 months. Like, I'm not even sure how long my life expectancy is at this point. Am I turning yellow?
No, not yet.
Not yet. Yeah, I've really gotten into the gin and the wine. But like all of those social experiences were so positive for me. I don't give a fuck. I drank a lot while we were here. I think that's something that will change when we get to Hawaii, but do not quote me on that.
You've also learned how to do a British impression of a tube driver here, the tube being the public transit here. You mind giving it a trial here?
Okay, well, I love that the London Underground has a woman's voice. I forget who it is, but she came out and said like she was the voice of the London Underground. But okay, well, I'm a fan of the District Line.
We love the District Line. We live on the District Line, the Piccadilly Line.
Earl's Court, baby. We're leaving. It's fine. No one can find us now.
All right, so we're taking the District Line to Embankment.
Okay, well, Embankment's not a terminal station, so we would be taking the District Line to Upminster.
Oh, yes.
So, this is a District Line train to Upminster. The next station is Sloane Square. Mind the gap between the train and the platform.
Wow, that was very good. That was very good. Now do that same thing, but in a Boston accent.
This is a District Line train to Upminster. Next station, Sloane Square. Mind the fucking gap between the train and the platform. What Troy thinks is funny, incredible. No one else is going to think is funny, but I love the voices of the Metro. I miss the Boston tea so bad.
Can you also hold up what you've got on the ground here right next to you?
Oh my God, guys. So we were walking home from... honestly, just a wandering adventure of walking around. And I had said one of the things I truly miss about the States, and like one of the only things actually, was Cheez-Its. And we walk into this little shop and I turn the corner and there's all American food and candy. Look what we got, baby. Wow. Look what we got. Guess how much I paid for this?
Eight pounds. 8 pounds, which is like $9 for a tiny box. This is not even a standard portion.
Not the family
eight
size.
8 pounds right next to the baby size Triscuits as well, which were $7.50 for Triscuits.
Oh yeah, no. So that's the thing, is like everything in that store was shipped from America. And so like this box would be like $1.79 in Stop and Shop or Target or Walmart. I saw this. I was like, oh, 8 pounds. Done. Put it on the table. Yeah, I'll take 10.
She's guarding them with her life. She won't even put them in the common area in her bedroom.
No, because I know Troy will snack on my Cheez-Its, and like I want this to be a special occasion for us, even though we'll be back in the States in 1 week. Like, we can get Cheez-Its in Hawaii. I'm pretty sure there's a Target.
What are you most looking forward to about Hawaii?
Oh my God, the weather. I mean, at the end of the day, London is London. We get some sunny days, and the weather has been better than I expected. Like, we really have had some beautiful sunny days in London. But, you know, nothing over 55 degrees Fahrenheit. I'm excited for hot weather and to hike. I've been doing workouts on this floor for the last 2 months, staying fit, still looking good, feel good, but hiking gives me a whole other source of happiness and adrenaline. I want some views of the ocean, the mountains, the mountain air. My skin will be a lot better. This city is fucking dirty. It's disgusting. When you get home, you take like micellar water and I'll swipe my face and there's dirt in my pores from this disgusting ass city. I love it here, but damn, like I can't wait for like clean air. I want to take a deep breath of clean air. No, not for you? What are you looking forward to? Fuck me.
I'm looking forward to
acai bowls.
Acai bowls, the sunrise. Mm. Looking forward to the sunrise. I'm also looking forward to, I don't know, I can't speak for what life in Kalua Beach will be like, but the city's loud. The city's loud. It's busy. You're a city girl. I'm not a city guy. So this has been it wasn't a difficult adjustment. It was just different. There are just certain, I miss stillness. I miss calm. You know me. Like I like my
I sleep like a fucking baby.
My calm meditative moments. And I also like good sleep. And I like not hearing sirens at all hours of the night. It takes me back to my UAlbany days when there were arrests happening every 5 seconds.
You really hear the traffic and it wakes you up?
Oh, yeah. It's terrible.
No, I find it kind of soothing.
Yeah, that checks out. I'm looking forward to the stillness, the sunrises and the sunsets. Hmm. I'm looking forward to a feeling of awe. And what I mean, you know, London is an amazing city. Obviously, it's historic, one of the most historic cities in the world. But it's not geographically awing, or like there's no natural features about this place that opens the Cheez-Its. What did I tell you? Rule number one of podcasts, don't eat or drink on podcasts. Only if we're sponsored by Cheez-Its, which is not the case yet, but we are open for business, Cheez-Its, if you're out there. I am looking forward to feeling a sense of overwhelming awe by looking at the blue oceans, the mountains, looking down upon the islands from the top of a mountain. Wow, I'm looking forward to that. I'm at no greater peace than when I'm looking down upon nature. So I'm looking forward to that.
Power complex. Got it. I'm excited to see my sister and Olivia.
Who's Olivia?
Olivia is my childhood best friend. We met when we were 5 at Camp Otter. Shout out. Great fucking day camp. Did you go to day camp?
In the summer, I went to some camps, yeah.
Yeah. It was very Jewish of you, by the way.
I am Jewish.
Yeah, okay. So far from it.
Mazel tov.
Yeah, so my sister and my best friend are coming to visit us for 10 days. We'll be trapped in quite a small apartment, but that's fine because we'll be spending so much time on the beach, going out to eat, enjoying the weather. Olivia and I are getting tattoos while we're there.
Wow.
Very exciting things. I miss my family a lot. It's been, you know, 2 months without them and people go a lot longer, but I'm like attached to the hip with my sister when I'm home. So our weekly sister slumbies have been on pause. Tough luck.
Can't relate. What do you hope to get out of this experience from a personal development standpoint?
I think I will focus a lot more on my physical and mental health while I'm there. I think having beautiful scenery can be very inspiring. I want to do yoga on the beach. I want to meditate. I want to try new forms of working out. Like I said, the hiking, I think that it'll be a great place to find some inner peace and to get to know myself a little bit better.
I am looking forward to, similar to in that space, quieting the mind. My mind moves a million miles a minute And I had some random freakouts over the last 2 weeks. Really, again, like I said in last week's podcast, for no legitimate reason, we suffer more in imagination than in reality, as Seneca once said. So conjuring up all images in my mind of things that could go wrong, freaking out about things that aren't actually going to happen, always, you know, thinking about the doomsday scenario in my mind when reality, like, life is great. I would just like to just be in the moment and enjoy. And I think being in the Hawaiian environment will be much more conducive than being in the London environment in terms of quieting the mind. So I really hope that I come out of the Hawaii experience in a much better place mentally, because I was coming into London in a really good space. I thought, after, you know, going to therapy last year for the first time and really, you know, I had a girlfriend last year who basically like told me about all of the flaws about myself that I never realized. And so then I was
a dumb bitch.
Yeah. So then I was working through those things and like coming to grips with all that and working on it and doing great. And then I thought by the time I left for London, I was in a really good spot with knowing myself and what I, where I struggle and what I need to do. And then for some here, like that just all, it all blew up again. And I was like, oh crap, I have, because I think you, despite what you think, are a very mentally healthy person. And I am inspired by you and your approach to life. And I would like to adopt more of your mindset. So I would, I'm sorry, I have to cut that out, don't I? I don't want to try to be more like you.
But no, you do.
I want to not treat everything so life and death. I want to give myself more permission, more grace. I want to be kinder to myself, which is something I don't really do. I thought I was doing a good job of all those things, but I really wasn't. So I would like to be in a mentally healthier place by the time I leave.
Don't take life so seriously, babe. This place can fucking blow up.
Yeah.
I do kind of live my life that way. I'm very kind to myself. Sometimes too much. Sometimes I need to be a little bit harder on myself in terms of a lot of things. But at the end of the day, I'm like, fuck it.
You haven't always been like that.
No. It takes therapy, years of work to recognize your value and how special you are and what you deserve. And I deserve kindness. 100%. I'm a kind human being. So, you know, I respect that. I expect that in return for myself. I respect myself a lot. And yeah, now I can't really see it any other way.
I guess my fear is I'm obsessed with the word discipline. My fear in life is becoming undisciplined and not being able to be motivated anymore. And like, you know, if I ever start to believe the hype around me, or like if I ever start to buy into my own success, that like I'll totally lose all sense of drive. That's kind of one of my big fears in life. So that's why I'm so hard on myself. It's to just like keep giving myself a kick in the ass, reminding, like, especially when I'm working out, like you hear the self-talk, like, you ain't shit. Like, you've got nothing yet. You haven't proved anything to anyone yet. You're just like anything to just motivate me. And so I kind of carry that mindset to my whole life so that I can forever keep a chip on my shoulder. And like, I never want to mail it in, and I'm afraid of that. So that's why I kind of treat myself that way. It's because I want to make sure that I stay, which I've always been, is a very motivated and disciplined person. And I don't want to lose that, because I fear the second I lose that, the wheels will just come off.
Let me challenge you.
Okay.
Is being a slave to discipline actually discipline?
So there is a case to be made that a great way of discipline is to rest. Like, it takes discipline to tell yourself you deserve a break, you deserve rest, like you are worth it. It would be very undisciplined for you to be so disciplined that, you get what I'm saying?
Yes. Like, yeah, that's what I mean.
It would be very, because it's what I know is just like, just keep grinding and like keep putting in 40-hour weeks and like keep working out every single day, because that's what I've always known. That's just kind of autopilot for me at this point. It would take discipline for me to say, you know what, dude, you've worked out 5 days this week. You can take the sixth day off. Like, that's totally fine. That is a form of discipline that I haven't explored too much yet, but would like to get to.
I mean, you got there today. You were like, oh, I'm listening to my body and I think I need to do yoga instead of kick my ass at the gym with a kickboxing workout or whatever. Yeah, have a buffalo wing. Chill out a little bit. If this world,
I had a muffin the other day.
I know. Troy had a muffin. What kind of muffin?
It was a banana muffin with some type of like banana frosting on it on top.
And some, like a glaze?
Banana glaze and some chocolate chips. It was fantastic.
You let yourself have a muffin. This is gross.
Hold on. Why did I allow myself to have a muffin? Because I knew I was taking 20,000 steps that day.
Like, this is not a transaction, Troy. This is life.
I have to deserve the muffin.
Deserve the muffin.
No, I have to do something to deserve the muffin.
And this.
And my doing was the 20,000 steps I was taking.
Yeah, this is a mental health moment. Don't listen to Troy's mindset food, exercise, and nutrition, because this is actually a really detrimental mindset. And I just want to, you're fucked up. I don't know if you want to get help for it. Seems like you don't. That's fine. But that's not a very good way to live life. You can have a muffin and not earn it per se.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Our friend Nim, who we went to Ireland with, the joy that he gets from eating chocolate is unlike any joy I have ever seen. And
He had three Rice Krispie treats.
I envied him.
I loved it.
And he's very fit. I mean, his arms take up the entire city of London.
Nim.
Looks great. I wish I could just so freely allow myself to enjoy something so simple as chocolate. But that I know that if I consumed three Rice Krispie chocolate treats, I'd be like...
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
In terrible
you'd be shape. Fucking running the length of London trying to figure out how you can earn those calories back. But here's the thing. Like, what do you think is going to come from that treat? Like, you're not scared to gain weight, right? Like, I think when I was in my mindset of trying to lose weight, which that was a fitness goal for me at one point. It's not anymore. I was scared of indulging in a treat once or twice a week. And then I really thought about it. And I was like, the grand scheme of things, like, this isn't going to set me back. It's fine. That's part of balance. And that's how I kind of heal my relationship with food, is like, what is this thing going to do to me? It's going to make me happy. That was like genuinely it. And like, Nim works out a lot. He has a really balanced lifestyle, and he can have three fucking Rice Krispie treats if he wants to, and he can enjoy them and not feel guilty about it. I mean, like, we have all felt that way before, but it's really frequent for you. And like, I wish I could take that feeling away from you, because it's really not fair to yourself.
Yeah, it just comes back to, it's not me worrying about the extra calories and putting
you
on
need
weight.
The extra calories.
I need weight. Like, every time I step on the scale, I'm hoping I weigh more than I do. And every time it's like, fuck, I lost another pound. How?
Because you don't stop moving.
Yeah, I know. I do love moving. It's more, goes back to that discipline idea. It's like, oh, I'm afraid if I eat this one crispy treat, then it'll become two Rice Krispie treats. So it'll become three. That's why I was offended when he took away the Cheez-Its, because I was like, I know I'm never going to allow myself to have more than five Cheez-Its. Why are you taking them away from me?
Because they're mine, Troy, and I'm bad at sharing, and I always have been. Okay?
Oh, I'm aware. Aware.
But I think the thought of your mindset ever changing to like a consistent indulge mindset, I could never imagine that. Like, that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, why do you think that you're that mentally weak?
It's a great question for me to ponder.
Yeah, don't answer that now. Talk about in therapy.
Yeah, enough about Troy's mental health hour, which is what this podcast evolved into. Is there any advice you would like to give to the listeners, viewers of the Found Generation podcast who, you know, have listened to us talk about our experiences over the last few weeks? And for anyone out there who may want to do something like this, how would you advise them go about doing something like this?
My first piece of advice is write down the reasons not to do it, because you actually realize that they're not that big of reasons. Like, I came here like not well off at all. I just saved up a bit of money and was like, I'm going to work with what I got, and also like work my looks and have people pay for drinks and food for me and whatever.
Yeah, it's worked wonders for you.
I'm doing quite well. So start with the reasons not to. And if they're real reasons not to, analyze why. And then realize how easy it actually is. I feel like I've had a few people come to me and be like, oh my God, I wish I could do what you were doing. And I'm like, well, why can't you? Like, let's really break down what would be so hard about taking 4 months. And I get like some jobs, like you just simply cannot do it. Taking 2 to 4 months off of your job, working with it in a financial way. Like for me, I have such a supportive job back home. They were like, yeah, take a leave of absence. Like you deserve to travel and see the world. One, done.
That's amazing. I feel like that's probably rare.
That is rare, but also so many people work remotely. Yeah. The amount of people that have said this to me that work remotely, I'm looking at them like they have a dick on their forehead. I'm like, okay, well, I have a job where I have to be there because it's healthcare. If you can work remotely, fuck you. You can do this. Next step. Oh, you have a lease? Sublet your apartment. I posted my apartment on Facebook, had 65 people message me that day. I rent it for a little bit more than I pay, and I pocket that money. Like, there's very little things that you can do that actually don't take that much effort if you're really serious about trying it out. I'm trying to think of like other reasons that I had to not go.
Personal relationships.
Yeah, that's the other thing is like, I don't feel like I had anything holding me back from this experience in terms of personal relationships. I think if anything, I was looking for the change. But like people are going to support you. Like the amount of friends that reached out and was like, look, I want you to be really present while you're exploring London and Hawaii. Like if we don't speak that much, that's fine. I'll see you when you get back. Like you want those relationships and people who want the best for you anyway. So if you feel like somebody's holding you back, I would question the friendship and the relationship because people in your life should want you to have experiences like this. Like I will forever be changed and have a new perspective on life. I'm smarter. I'm kinder. I'm a better person because of what I've experienced here. And I would want that for a lot of people in my life. Just like general things. Also, when you come to London, like you just have to learn. If you're on the fucking escalator and you want to stand, stand on the right. Some of us Londoners have places to be. Just like little things like that. Like, I think you really have to learn about the culture and what's what wherever you're going.
Getting hit by a car will do that for you.
Yeah, well, yeah. Exactly. Like, mind the fucking gap. But learn about it so you're not like an ignorant asshole, you know? Like, that's part of traveling is adapting to a way of life that you're not used to. And so like do your research, talk to people who live there. Like it's so easy to connect with people from other countries, like especially with social media. Like you can find somebody and be like, hey, like what should I know about traveling here? Ask around, ask your friends, ask your family. Do you know anybody X, Y, or Z? Message us. If we've been to the country, we'll try and help you out. But don't let fear be the reason that you don't do it. I think learning to sit with discomfort and then making the discomfort your comfort is a really, really valuable skill. There are a lot of reasons not to do it, but I don't think they're big enough than what we've gained from this experience at all.
Whenever I'm weighing some type of big decision, and this was a big decision coming out here, I always ask myself, what is the worst thing that could happen?
Yeah.
For me, the worst thing that could happen was...
Actually.
was me and Kelsey's friendship blows up or whatever. That's what I took to be the worst thing. There's also maybe like a work thing or two, but diminutive compared to our friendship going away. So I was like, you know, I'm willing to take that risk. If this blows up, I'd rather have it be sooner than later. Like, let's not prolong it. Let's just get it out of the way. So right. That was the worst thing that could happen. And that worst thing didn't happen. The exact opposite has happened. So when you're weighing a big decision, ask yourself, what's the worst thing that can happen? And once you actually think about it, once you actually write down all of the outcomes, you will find most likely that the worst thing is really not that bad at all. And even if it does happen, which is unlikely, if it does happen, you'll realize, like, I was not going to do this thing because of that.
Facts. I think for me, the worst thing that could have happened was that I run out of money. And if that had happened, which it didn't, because I found little ways to make money, I remote work for a couple of people just like to make spending money here or there. But like I prepared myself by saving up and like not going out as much in Boston and putting some cash away because I knew I wanted to do something like this. But I was like, okay, well, if I'm really, really low on money, I'm going to book a flight home and go back to work. That's the worst thing that's going to happen is that I see it's below a certain amount. I get on a plane, I go home and work, and like this experience gets cut short a little bit. That's not bad for, you know, worst case scenario. And it didn't happen because I'm fucking fabulous and beautiful.
I love you so much. And then there's other times where I'm just like, I hate you. Or why?
Love yourself, baby. Love yourself.
And that is the last time you'll hear from Kelsey Davis for a number of weeks. The next time we hear from you, Kelsey, I don't know what our studio will be like in Hawaii. Will we have a studio on the beach? Will we be doing it from the comfort of our own home? Will we be doing a podcast on the top of a mountain? I don't know. But I'm very excited to go to Hawaii with you. We've got a 41-hour journey to
Jesus Christ,
Honolulu.
Yeah. So I'll have to drug Troy for our upcoming travel experience. Essentially, what we're doing is we're flying from London Heathrow to Calgary, Canada. We have a 22-hour layover. Then we fly from Calgary the next day to Vancouver, have a few-hour layover, and then Vancouver to Honolulu, where one of my best friends in the world, Risa, who lives in Hawaii, will pick us up and bring us to our Airbnb. But that will be in total like a 40-hour travel experience. And I'm planning to drug Troy in some way because sitting on a 9-hour flight with him will be not only a nightmare for him, but for me.
A 9-hour flight and a 6-hour flight in a 30-hour span sounds like my personal hell.
But we booked these flights so last minute. Essentially, Troy was like, we can only spend 2 months in London. And I was like, all right, fuck it. We have to be in the U.S. somewhere. We're going to Hawaii. He was like, what? And I was like, I found $500 flights to Hawaii. I'm booking them. He was like, what? And I was like, we're going. And then I told him about the layover.
You cunning bitch. I didn't realize you did that.
Bitch moan. You'll be on a fucking mountain in Hawaii in a week. You're welcome.
Thank you, Kelsey, for joining me, for sharing this experience with me, for joining me these last few weeks, being the only person in the world who says yes to come on. I promise the next few episodes will be with different people, and then we'll have you back on in a matter of weeks.
Sucks for you guys. I'm so sorry. I miss you too.
Thank you for another episode of the Found Generation Podcast. Like, subscribe, comment, follow Kelsey. What's your TikTok? Because I forget it already.
Kelsey.Davis_ on TikTok.
Boom. Have a great week, y'all.
Bye.